This is Monster of the Week.
I'm Jeremy Greer.
It's with Chris and Jeremy.
I'm Chris Mosier.
Sam is broken, Dean's all whack.
If I can kill werewolves, fix a pinto, and bake cornbread, I will be damned if I can't get Zen.
Please bring Funcast back.
This is Monster of the Week, the creepy but necessary podcast where Chris and I are covering every single episode of the TV show Supernatural, and we are back some more with Season 7. I'm excited to be here. Season 7 still continues to be my second favorite season so far. I think I'm ready to put
second favorite? Wow.
Season 5 is gold. Well, no, Season 4 and then Season 2. Well, I don't know. My second favorite
second favorite in 2018.
Yeah, my favorite since Season 5. Can we say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing just fine, Buck. I'm happy to be here. Thanks, I'm happy to be talking about this episode. I'm just going to come out and let everyone know that I don't have a road so far prepared.
Oh, no.
And at this point in the season, I'm starting to forget what's actually happening.
Well, before we get into that, we need to thank everyone over at our Patreon. This is the first time we recorded since we kind of redid the Patreon a couple of weeks ago.
That's right.
And we announced the Monster of the Week Presents feed and released that first Witcher podcast with Autumn. And everyone seemed to respond very positively to that. The Patreons had a lot of activity.
Everybody.
The Discord had a lot of activity. We've been chatting about Witcher and all kinds of crazy stuff on the Discord. So thank you very much, everyone out there who donated something to the Patreon. And thank you for listening. And thank you for continuing to support us. We very much appreciate it. We had
the
some
support
really
has been crazy,
crazy
and awesome.
Yeah.
So.
like me and Chris are like, are we about to cry? Because this person was so nice to us. Like, this is crazy. Yeah. And thank you for all of you listening. And thank you to our new patrons, the first of which I'm going to mention is named Nicholas. So thank you, Nicholas, for your donation. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Chris, remind us of what's going on in Season 7, man. Can you keep up?
Fuck. Okay. So, here's the thing, you guys. Castiel's back, except he's not back. No. All right. The Leviathans are taking over. They're buying up corporations. They're working on some serious Leviathan machinations.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen too much of them in the last few episodes, but they're working on something that's bigger and different than anything we've really seen in Supernatural before. They're not trying to open hell gates. We don't know what they're trying to do. They seem to be claiming that they're trying to save humanity. So that whole thing is going on. On the other hand, we've had a season of Lucifer brain for Sam. And just, I believe, last episode, Castiel finally came back, and he removed the Lucifer curse from Sam's head, taking it into himself as sort of a sacrifice, as sort of a redemption for him taking down the wall in Sam's head to begin with. Whether or not this step was necessary for Castiel, I don't know. But we've had that going on, so Castiel is back, and Meg is currently watching over him. And the other thing that's going on in the season, I'm going to keep this extremely quick and concise, is that we've been getting little hints here and there of a Bobby ghost, and finally last episode, we got a full-on glimpse of him.
We got a full-on Bobby ghost vision. I was really happy to see that at the end.
That was not a good road so far, but I still think it could have been worse. I've done worse.
Chris, I think it was your best one you've done in like 10 episodes. I think you did really well on that one.
Thank you.
You actually remembered to talk about the Leviathans, which I found really impressive. So the episode we're discussing today is Season 7, Episode 19 of Grave Importance, written by Brad Buckner and Eugene Ross Lemming, directed by Tim Andrew. An old hunter friend reconnects with Sam and Dean. I put a real sexy vibe on that. I'm sorry.
Ooh, with good reason.
With Sam and Dean, yeah. Sam and Dean get a call from Annie Hawkins, an old hunter friend, asking for help on a case. When they arrive in town, they find out Annie has disappeared. They trace her last whereabouts to an old abandoned house that is haunted by a powerful
ghost. Why'd you put the sexy emphasis on disappear?
I think this is a real fun episode. It kind of messes with what I thought was something that was really, really simple in the Supernatural world, which, like, hey, if you burn somebody's bones, then they're dead, essentially.
We've had a handful of times where I think a person will cling to an object that meant a lot to them. And I think what basically we're going to learn throughout this episode is that Bobby's desire to stay with the boys overpowered the hunter trick of burning the bones.
Yeah, it just, again, the Winchesters and their immediate family or friends get to break all of the rules of the natural universe anytime they want to, basically. How many times has Dean died now? Like
there
a
is a conversation in this episode between Bobby and somebody else. There's some dead folks talking. And Bobby's, like, wondering about death.
Dead Folks like, Talking is my new Johnny Cash cover band, by the way.
Yeah, how have you not... how has this conversation not come up with Sam and Dean, two of your close friends who have both died more than once?
So let's get into the episode, because I'm excited to talk about this one. So we get our brief then montage, which is basically like Bobby exists and he's a cool dude and now he's dead.
Friendly reminder that Bobby is dead.
Yeah. We open the episode with Sam and Dean getting a little dinner. They're
eating a little fast food.
They're not eating at their favorite burger joints anymore because those are all run by Leviathan. So now they're eating tacos, and Dean is expressing some solidarity. He's expressing some of his one of the few positive things that's going on in Dean's life is that he can go to this one particular taco stand across the nation. And all of their fast food restaurants taste the same, so it's always going to be a delicious taco.
And that's something that, with the ground ripped out from underneath Dean constantly, he needs something like this to hang on to.
He just needs a hard-shelled American-ass taco to hold on to.
It's something, like, just to keep him grounded.
Would you like any sauce with that? Yes, ma'am. I would take mild sauce, please.
I would take just the most mild sauce. Mildest.
Just, can you just like get some weird gravy and just pour it in there for me? I don't know.
And some extra napkins, thank you.
Yes, and some extra napkins.
I get my tacos with some extra napkins. So they're sitting out on the hood of the car, eating their tacos, and Dean gets a call, and it's from somebody named Annie, and she's a hunter, and they seem to be, like, we've never seen her before, but the boys seem like they're pretty familiar with her, and she's saying, you know, hey, I'm sorry about Bobby, I just found out, I actually have some of his stuff, if you want to come, like, meet up, I'm working on a case in this town, you know, if you guys aren't too far away, you can come grab this stuff from me. And they're like, yeah, sure, this is the most, like, innocuous, normal conversation that Dean has ever had with the person.
a list of Dean's phone calls would be very interesting to me, of, like, just every phone call that he's ever had that we've seen on the show, and I think that's kind of fascinating.
It's an old friend that doesn't have some weird grudge against them, and is just like, yeah, can you meet up so I can give you this stuff that belonged to your friend? Like, I figure you guys should have it. Like, oh yeah, sure, we're not going to be hung up and weird about it, we're just going to come get it. That's exactly what happens.
It's not one of John Winchester's spawn that they didn't know about previously.
It's not like a cursed box in a strange storage facility with traps, you know? It's just very normal.
So they make plans to meet up, and then we go to what is very obvious, like, an old haunted mansion. And,
it's the most haunted ass house you've ever seen.
Like, it has to be the same picture that they use in every single, like, it kind of looks like the Xavier Mansion from Far Away. Like, it's like the mansion that they use to make things look kind of scary and imposing.
It could be the cover of an Agatha Christie novel, sure, or any ghost story, like anything.
The BuzzFeed haunted folks have definitely been through there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's two teenagers in here who have broken into this place so they can make out and have sex. And as Fuck Autumn asks,
now they're just making out.
Well, I mean, it's implied. I mean, like, if you break into a house to, like, make out, it's implied that you're gonna, like, get some action, right? That's the way that works. I don't understand who does this, by the way. I've never done this as a kid. I've never, obviously, never done this as an adult. Like, why would you break into, like, the scariest place possible and then just had to go to, like,
no parents, dog. No parents.
I mean, they drove there, didn't they? Like, you go park in a field somewhere, like God intended.
Yeah, but why? Like,
go find a dirt road nobody lives down. This is easy pickings, y'all.
Why risk it on a dirt road or something when you could just go to a haunted mansion?
I feel like the haunted mansion is more of a risk.
They lit candles.
Oh my
God!
Who brought in all these candles, Chris? And who?
They brought supplies.
It must have been like 45 minutes worth of laying out the perfect candles and lighting all.
And then he still acted like he forgot a condom.
I'm sorry, baby. I had no idea.
I was too distracted by all these candles I brought.
The kids start hearing some weird noises, and it's the weird noises are Annie driving up to the place to go check it out. And but they spook themselves and they run into an absolute unit of a ghost. Like, this dude.
Yeah,
is,
this
he's
just.
Thick.
Major bloke. This guy is big. He's
this
a big
guy
boy.
Is a major bloke.
Major beef boy.
And so they run away from him, and then we you know, cut back to Annie, and she finds the two kids dead. It's not really, you can't really figure out why they're dead. They just have blood on their mouths, and they're both mm-hmm. like passed out.
Yeah,
she doesn't really.
There's
know
a lot of
or anything like that. So she's just
no. She's just like, yep, dead kids, whatever. Yeah. There's a lot of classic supernatural in this episode that I really like, and I think that that just has something to do. You know, it's the setting. It's a ghost story. You know, sure. Obviously it's going to get a little bit deeper. But it's just vibes from like season one, season two, all throughout this, and I liked it. Even seeing Annie, who I've never seen before, the audience has never seen before, just going and doing a hunter thing. After that brief conversation with Dean, I just like immediately bought into her character. I don't know why. I just was like, yeah, okay, she's somebody who knows a Winchester. She's cool. She's totally capable of handling all this. I just like it just made sense. And then she's doing the classic supernatural stuff, and it worked.
Yeah, she's holding L2 for Hunter Vision, and
yeah,
I'm with you. There's gonna be a spot later on where she's gonna do some real emotional heavy lifting, and it's kind of fascinating to me. I don't know if it's the actress or the writing. I'm gonna say it's both the writing and the actress that carry this off so well. Like, mm-hmm. makes me kind of care about this woman who shows up in literally one episode and never shows up.
Yeah, it's weird, and maybe it's just the way that, like you said, the way that she's written as if she's somebody that the Winchesters have known, and it that is almost enough to make us feel like we have known her, mm-hmm. by learning like the one funny like backstory that she has with all three of yeah, the guys.
We're gonna get to in a minute, so I'm really excited about that.
It just works. She works.
Yeah, but she sees these kids that are dead, and then like a ghost shows up, and then we kind of crash to the restaurant, so we don't really know what yeah. Annie's status is. Dean and Sam are at this restaurant looking very uncomfortable as they're sitting kind of catty-cornered next to each other, because they, you know, mm-hmm. obviously are waiting for someone to arrive. Dean is on the phone with Meg, I think, at this point, finding mm-hmm. out about Cass or something about the Leviathans. He mentioned Leviathans and archaeological digs, like they're doing,
so this
digs
is
and stuff. Yeah,
this is like the first breadcrumb to what's going to not only finish out season 7 but lead us into season 8, and I that's a bit of a spoiler, I guess, but I had completely forgotten where this season was going. So they say, oh yeah, Dick Roman, he's funding multiple archaeological digs, and I was like, okay, Lara Croft, what's going on here? But it's I like that they kind of just sprinkled that in, because I think that it's going to come up more later.
Yeah, they're doing that classic supernatural thing where they have a couple of lines that indicate what's in your meta plot and then completely ignore it for the rest of the episode, which
yeah.
in this episode, I think it actually works really well.
Especially since it's new information and it's still treated as like kind of throwaway, because yeah. they don't know what to make with it yet, and they can't do anything about it right now anyway. So
although
it's,
we only,
I like it.
Just to remind everybody, we only have 4 episodes left in the season.
Yeah.
So like they need to kind of get working on this if something's gonna happen.
Yeah.
As they're waiting for Annie to arrive, Sam mentions, like, yeah, you know that her and Bobby had a thing. And Dean's like, oh, yeah, of course I knew that. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then he kind of stopped.
He clearly did not know that.
I had no idea. Like, what kind of a thing did they have? And you know, Sam is like, well, you know, it, you know, kind of a, I think he says foxhole kind of thing. Or
yeah, because it's a foxhole thing.
Yeah.
He describes it as like a Hemingway thing. Like,
that's what it is. Yeah, just, yeah. It's a real yeah. Hemingway situation. And then Dean responds with, well, you know, one time, me and her kind of Hemingwayed once. which causes,
and you can tell Dean, like, Dean feels like kind of weird that he's like, I that him and Bobby both slept with Annie. He's like, oh no, I don't know how I feel, like, I'm a little weird. And he looks over at Sam, and Sam's making this face like, sorry Dean, I kind of had a similar situation with her. But Sam, in my defense, I didn't have a soul.
Sam's defense is so great. You know, she was real stressed out, and you know,
she was stressed.
I didn't have a soul. You can tell that Sam carries a lot of guilt around for a lot of the things that he did as a
yeah.
a soulless Sam, but this is definitely not one of them. He doesn't feel weird about this at all.
No. I just like that. Like, Sam was well aware of like the relationship she had with Bobby and everything, and like none of that bothered him. It's like, yeah, whatever, we're two adults, we're just having a good time. But Dean is very much like, what, nobody told me.
Dean is probably like the most weirded out by this, which I don't know why. Like, Annie is an attractive woman, these two are attractive dudes. Bobby, you know, he got a little age to him, but at the time he's a pretty, very attractive man. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember who posted it. Might have been Patches that posted a screenshot of young Bobby Singer. or young Jim Beaver, I should say. Mm-hmm. And he was like in his mid-20s, and that dude was a fox. He was a hunk and a half. Like, the dude was
hell really yeah
looking. So I can definitely see Annie falling down these dreamy eyes.
But I also in this scene, so that I just like that. It's just funny, and nobody's weird about it. It's just a funny thing.
Yeah.
We get they're waiting for Annie because now they're like, hey, she's running late. This is getting kind of weird. And Dean is just he's got the flask on him and he's just pouring whiskey into his coffee at this restaurant.
At the restaurant, pro hunter move right there. And they keep trying to call and she's not answering the phone, so they finally just kind of give up and go back to the hotel. And
they make another comment about the flask here, and I don't know if it's Dean or Sam who says it, but they say, just because I wish we could see him again doesn't mean we should. So there's more of that kind of, they've fully accepted that Bobby's ghost is not around despite everything.
Yeah, I think Sam says something like, you know, hey, you might want to, like, you might just want to leave it behind, like, maybe we should put that away and kind of be done with it, so it's not.
And
really
he's like, yeah, I thought of that, but I'm not ready yet. I will put it away, but just not quite yet. It's like, that's like a super healthy thing to reply with.
Sam and Dean are back at the hotel trying to make things, trying to kind of figure out what's going on, trying to figure out a way to find Annie when Bobby is there. He's just sitting down at the table next to Dean and he's kind of yelling at them. He's like, look, I made that window blind move. Why don't you guys ever look at the right spot at the right time? Yeah. So he's desperately trying to get their attention. And we find out he says like balls, this is exhausting. So obviously whatever he's trying to do, whatever energy he's put into this is not working very well for him.
And they're looking up info or whatever. They find out about the case that Annie was working on. And they like, okay, well, let's go check out this mansion. Let's head out the door. And Dean walks out without his jacket. So we just get this moment of Bobby being alone in the room because the flask is in Dean's jacket pocket. And him just being like, well, I can't do anything. And you gotta get like a very brief glimpse of like the loneliness and isolation that not only Bobby, but obviously all the ghosts in this world are going through. Because he is presented so much as the Bobby that we've known and loved this whole time. And especially when he gets more interaction throughout the episode, it's easy to forget, like, this character that we love, he's dead, and he's struggling with all of his might to reach out to these boys that he love. So there is just this brief flicker of, like, that loneliness when he's left behind, but then Dean comes back and grabs his jacket. And then it's cut over to the mansion, where they don't see anything out of the ordinary other than this fucking Agatha Christie mansion, but Bobby is there with them, and he can see all of these ghosts. It's not just the big bloke we saw run at the teens. It's not just the teens. It's not any of that. It's a lot of ghosts.
It's a whole lot of ghosts, and they look from, like, different time periods, and they're all kind of standing around absolutely still as if they don't have anything to do all day because, I don't know, they're ghosts, probably don't have anything to do all day. I would imagine that it is very boring being a ghost, like, probably 99% of the time, because you're not haunting 24/7, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not haunting every day. So, I like this a lot. This is a real spooky scene. Bobby deals with it in a completely Bobby way, which is to try to introduce himself around. He said, hey, I'm a ghost, and I'm just trying to learn the ropes. And he witnesses this guy in kind of a trim suit, and kind of a fancy suit, yelling at the big unit, at the big bloke from earlier in the episode, and saying, like, we told you not to do that.
Whose name is Dexter.
Dexter, yeah. You're not allowed to do that. You shouldn't do that. And the implication there is, like, oh, hey, Dexter killed those kids, and this boss ghost, for lack of a word, will...
sequel to Boss Baby. It's the very dark sequel to Boss Baby.
Oscar nominated Boss Baby. But yeah, he's basically yelling at this dude to not do that again. And then Sam and Dean kind of spread out and start exploring when Annie walks up and is like, oh, hey, Bobby, what's up?
Yeah. Oh, no. So now we know the fate of Annie. She's also a ghost. We can tell because she's slightly more pale and she can see Bobby.
Yeah. During this process, Sam and Dean find Annie's phone. Dean like, calls Annie's phone and they finally find that. But they don't find anybody. They don't find the kids. They don't find Annie. They're going all over the place.
EMF is going nuts.
The EMF is going nuts. I was hoping you would say that. It's orbiting like crazy.
This place is orbiting like crazy. And there's lots of ghosts. There's people getting killed here. There's a whole lot going on. When they find Annie's phone, they check the messages and there's full-on EVP, electronic voice phenomenon, on that on recorder. Phone, yeah. Okay. This place is orbiting like crazy. That's all I can say. but I don't really know what the ghost is saying. It's something like,
Help me.
It's just some spooky ghost bullshit. Yeah, help me. Yeah, there we go.
We'll find out later in the episode that it was help me. Which kind of made me believe that there would be this whole plot where Bobby like tries to talk to the boys through their phone, but that never happened. So I was like, why are they doing this? It's like kind of a because
EVP. It's Ghost Hunter shorthand.
Bobby and Annie sit down to kind of talk about, you know, being dead. And just kind of find out, you know, he's like, oh, did you duck your Reaper too? And Annie's like, excuse me? No, I absolutely did not. I didn't have a choice in this. I was made a ghost, et cetera, et cetera.
She's kind Bobby's like, oh.
Yeah, she's kind of pissed off at Bobby for doing this horrible thing. And
he's like, they need me. I can't leave. Like, I got to stay. I got to fight with them. She's like, you're delusional.
Yeah, you can't be doing that, homie. This is a bad plan. They do see the kids that got killed. They see their ghosts, but they're not really like talking to anybody or anything. Like they're still trying to figure out. They still haven't figured out that they're really dead yet. They don't really know it.
No, they're not woke to being dead.
And then Bobby says that he hasn't figured out how to like manipulate anything on the material plane other than being able to knock stuff over. And we find out that
able to stand on that or sit on that couch.
Yeah, but they're straight up sitting on a couch, which I guess is just comes naturally. They're on the second floor of a building. Just saying. Why don't they just fall to the center of the earth? Anyway, who cares?
Yeah, I feel like there must be some, well, you know what? I'm going to do some ghost research.
Sure.
Yeah,
come back next episode and let us know how all this works. But he says that after he knocked that book over a couple of episodes ago, he blacked out for 2 weeks. Like, he wasn't even able to raise his consciousness, which I think is funny. And that's where we see this dude walk in, and he just calmly walks over. This is the same guy in the fancy suit. He walks over, he lifts up a chair, and he moves it next to the bar, and then he sits down to, like, have a glass of wine. And there's, like, a ghost bartender there, which makes
me think like, that, oh, fuck, that was dope.
I didn't realize that there was going to be a ghost bar, Chris. Now I'm kind of back in.
Yeah. I did not know there was going to be a ghost bar. What up, y'all?
Do I have to pay with real dollars, or can my ghost dollars work here?
Bobby's like, I need to get Dean to leave the flask here.
Yeah, just leave the... Dean, drop it. Drop it right now, Dean. They start trading stories about how they passed away, and Bobby, you know, says it's a bullet to the head. Annie doesn't remember how she died, which is a good thing because, you know, guess what? This dude killed her. And this guy says he was brutally stabbed 80 years ago. And eventually, like, him and Bobby kind of have this, you know, aggression towards one another. But Annie, because she's a woman, she charms him. She charms him completely. And they learn that his name was Haskell, and that and Haskell can kind of teach them how to move some stuff around. And he says you have to be absolutely calm to do it.
Yeah, you can't be like freaking out, pushing too much emotion. That's how you burn yourself out. But if you get zen about it, as Bobby puts it, then you'll be able to control your feelings. It's like using the Force.
It's literally exactly like using the Force. Like this might as well be Yoda telling Bobby this. Also, that's my OTP is Bobby and Yoda. See which one can advise the other one.
So then they run into the ghost. Stop. Yobi. they run into the ghost who left the EVP on the phone that said help me or free me or whatever she said. And just as they're starting to kind of like get some info about what's going on, because she's like, no, we're like killed here, or they were, but like we're all trapped here. That's what she starts to get into. And then Bobby is zapped away because the boys went back to the car with the flask, and Bobby has to go where the flask goes.
Yeah, we also we see during that whole exchange, one of the random ghosts that are just hanging out in the background like starts screaming in the middle of a conversation, which is kind of a spooky thing, and then runs towards Bobby and his like people that he's having conversations with and disappears. And Haskell describes that as like that's what happens. You eventually just go crazy, you use up all of your energy, and you have, I think Bobby describes it as ghost Alzheimer's, where you forget everything about yourself and you're just standing around. And of course Annie says like, oh hey, like that's like all of the ghosts that we've ever had to deal with, like they've all been crazy. That makes sense. So
yeah, and Annie's problem right now is she certainly doesn't want to be a ghost, but she doesn't know where the hell her body is, which is bad. So Sam and Dean, they leave, and they go do the classic supernatural thing of just talking to an elderly person about history.
Time for local history. to tell him
they
what's
going
on.
They go to some, I don't know if it's a museum or what, but they're asking about the house, and he's kind of like, yeah, man, don't go check that place out. Also, there was a woman here the other day who was asking about this, and I told her to stay away from that place, because it's old and decrepit, and you don't need to be over there. And it's almost like, ooh, is he hiding something? No, he's not. He's just telling him to stay away from the fucking abandoned building. And we also learned that Dexter, the big guy, the big ghost we saw earlier, he was the groundskeeper who was, the story is, he was a convicted killer who was taken in out of the kindness of the landowner's heart to, and then he ended up murdering the man's wife or something.
That's exactly right. And there was also, this place was also a brothel for a while.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of like weird hooker jokes at some point that's we're going to call out.
Yeah.
So
they keep calling this ghost a hooker, and she just keeps crushing them and saying that she's a fancy lady.
Yeah, yeah. And even like Sam one time, Dean says hooker, and he looks at him like, come on, dude. She's a ghost. You can call her a sex lady. Worker.
Yeah. Show some fucking respect.
Jesus. She's already dead. So they go back to the hotel room, and we're treated to an extended scene of Dean showering, which we are now going to describe in just glorious detail.
When he comes out of the shower, he's wearing a shirt, isn't he? When we see him, we don't even get to see his hunk bod.
We don't. I think we see like some top area. Like we see like some
yeah,
a little bit below
above the nipple.
Yeah, but we have above it's ATN above the nipple. Is this screenshot got passed around today on Twitter? Is this the scene where that our friend Caitlin photoshopped?
No, I think that. I don't know. Maybe I thought that was from an earlier season. I could be wrong.
From an earlier season. Yeah. Does not matter. But Bobby is there, and he's convincing himself that he can get Zen. He says, I can kill werewolves, yeah. I can fix a pinto, and I can bake cornbread. I can get Zen. And sure enough, while he's trying to get Zen, we go back to the house where two other dumbass teenagers have decided to chase their friends in and also get themselves killed.
Oh, yeah. Good on you guys.
Good job.
And then Dean finally gets out of the shower, and written on the mirror with all the, you know, the steam of the shower, it says Annie's trapped in house or something like that.
And they basically say like, who's there, and Bobby manages to write his name. So Sam picks up the flask. Bobby says, where are you standing around here? You got to get back to the house. Dean says, oh, we got to get back to the house, and they go back to the house. So they are barely, we're just going to go right back there.
Yeah, we're back at the house, and now we see Dexter again, the big bloke, and we find out that he was trying to warn the kids. When he was charging them, he was trying to warn them to get out. But that's not allowed. He wasn't the one who killed them. And we see this fella. I think his name is Whitman. Or his last name is Whitman. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. For some reason, he must have introduced himself as Haskell or something, but not told them the name. Because
I wrote down, unless they're two different characters, Haskell Crane was the name I wrote down the first time, and then something Whitman the other time.
Whitman Van Ness is his actual name, and he never uses Haskell again in the episode, so it's very confusing to me.
Very confusing. I don't know if it was just two fancy gentlemen who looked alike or what. Either way, he kills Dexter, who wasn't the real killer. We find out it's the master of the house or whatever, the man who lived here, he's the one who's been killing everybody and keeping their spirits and like feeding off of them to make himself stronger, I guess. He's some sort of ghost vampire.
He's a ghost vampire.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
He
also kills the two kids, and then after he kills Dexter, they leave, and Annie and Victoria, who is the fancy lady, are basically like, Annie is trying to use the phone or use the video camera that they brought with them, these two kids brought with them, but she can't do it, so she asks Victoria to do it. So Victoria, Sam and Dean have arrived in the house. Victoria kind of throws this camera towards Sam and Dean, but she also explains like this whole plot line about Whitman, so like we get all of that information from her. Sam and Dean get there, they're arming themselves up from their arsenal in the back, and they walk into the house. Bobby, who is getting better and better at this ghost stuff, pickpockets his own flask and puts it in a drawer in the house, locking himself to the house in case Sam and Dean leave.
Yeah. Bad move, Bobby.
This is an extraordinarily bad move, and I'm kind of anti-ghost being able to touch their own ghost token, which is what I've been
It just seems like it's
head.
A lot. It's just a lot.
It's a lot, Chris. Like, if you could do that, you could just go anywhere, right? Like, you wouldn't be... I feel like there'd be roaming bands of ghosts if that was the case.
Yeah, it's a lot. But here, Sam and Dean, they find the camera. They're able to look at it. They see Annie's ghost on the camera, so now they know that she's dead. She's not just missing somewhere in this house. We also saw the bodies being dragged away. I think maybe we see that on the camera. So the boys know that the bodies are hidden somewhere. This is where Bobby sneaks the flask out. And then Victoria appears. That's right.
Yeah,
the fancy lady, she appears to try and communicate some shit to the boys.
And there's some real funny moments where, you know, they're asking a question and like she's taking a long time to tell them the information. And she's like, actually, I was raised to have polite conversation. And they're like, you're a ghost and there's a killer ghost on the move. Can we hurry this the fuck up, please?
But before she can really tell them anything, she gets killed. She gets zapped, I guess. Well, we learned that her bones were burned. But yeah, she just gets totally just ghost wiped.
Yep. Haskell sees, like, there's a scene where Whitman sees her explaining this doll to Sam and Dean, so sneaks up behind her and kills her. So Sam and Dean, now that they know who this guy is, they leave the house so that they can go salt and burn Whitman's bones.
Yeah, but not before this motherfucker. He sneaks a key into Sam's pocket so that he can travel with them, because he's not bound to his own body or his own house. He's bound to a key, apparently.
Sure, because his body. Whatever, doesn't matter. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, this really fucks with some of my, like, I really like the super simplicity that the ghost had in Supernatural, and once we start tying all this stuff up, and I'm a little bit. I just, it's a lot, as you said earlier. It's just a lot.
Absolutely a lot. Absolutely a lot.
So yeah, he slips his key in. Bobby realizes what's happened. Of course, he's, you know, thinking like, oh shit, this was a bit terrible idea. I should be there to help him, but he can't be. So in the meantime, Annie says, hey, you could still feel bad. You could feel sorry for yourself all day, or you could work the case with me. We still have to find and burn all these bones to give these people a rest.
Yeah. So they start looking for hidden rooms. Also, she calls him Robert here, which I thought was a funny little
extremely good touch.
So yeah, they start searching around. They go into his study or his bedroom, Whitman, and they start feeling around the walls, and just classic, like, haunted house style. Bobby finds a candelabra and he pulls it, and a bookcase spins around, and there's a secret room full of dead bodies.
Full of dead bodies, including Annie's. And Annie is kind of stares at herself, her lifeless corpse, and you can tell it's affecting her a lot. And her and Bobby have this relatively heartfelt and deep conversation about, you know, what happens after you die. Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, Bobby, you should know, since two of your boys have gone to both heaven and hell,
and also you know about purgatory, so you have a pretty good handle on what happens.
Maybe they don't remember everything from when they were above or below, but you know that they went above and below, so you know that they go there.
Bobby does not say this. Instead, he says, they probably just disappear into nothing, and I hope that's what it is. And she says that's what she hopes for, too. And it was this scene that I was talking about earlier in the episode when I said she was doing some pretty emotional heavy lifting, because this was seriously affecting. Like, when she starts talking about, she kind of says, like, you had the boys. Like, you had Sam and Dean to look after a lot. I just had work. You know, I was living my life, and, you know, now I want to rest. Like, if I give me the opportunity, I'm going to do that. Like, I want you to give me a hunter's funeral, and I want to die peacefully. I want to go to rest.
And, you know, the thing I was thinking was maybe what they're talking about, what happens after, isn't what happens when you die. It's what happens when they salt and burn our bones. You know, they don't know if ghosts go to heaven or hell because they decided to not go with the Reaper and pass over, or they were trapped, you know, either way. Does that mean that they get released from their decision and then they get to go to heaven or hell? Or does it just mean that, whatever, maybe they go to purgatory?
So let's get technical with this stuff. So I think if you're a ghost, if you're brutally murdered, right, like Annie was, that decision is removed from you. In other words, like, something supernatural took you before your time. There was no Reaper there to take your soul, so you just stay around until you get your burns burnt, and then probably you go into purgatory. That kind of has that sounds kind of thematic for me. Like, I'm kind of into that. Versus somebody who makes a decision to stay, who avoids his Reaper and decides to stay, and they can become then like some other stronger spirit that can attach to either bones or some object, and then maybe stay around like Bobby is. Maybe that's the difference, is like Bobby's stubborn bullheadedness about this whole situation.
Yeah. Okay. I'm into that.
You're worth it. It's a lot of gymnastics to get to something that was used to be real simple. Like,
yeah.
If they would just tell me that, you know, there was just a lot of Bobby saliva in that flask, it'd be a lot easier for me to deal with.
Certainly.
Just a lot of Bobby germs that Dean is inhaling now.
It's a lot of his hair. It's just his beard hair is just shoved down in there.
You know, now it's in Dean's body. So now Bobby is directly haunting Dean.
Part of him forever.
Sure. Yeah. What is the thing we got to burn to get rid of Bobby? Your large intestine, Dean. I'm sorry.
Your whole business. You got to quit drinking, Dean. So the boys are heading off to the cemetery, and Whitman starts haunted from the back seat, and he tries to take over the car. He's swerving all over the damn place. They're able to I guess get to the cemetery. I don't know. They don't die. They're fine. And Dean is able to get the key out of Sam's pocket and shoot it with his gun, and that is enough to like release Whitman and send him back to the house because this stuff makes sense.
Yeah. Why does he go back to the house?
I don't know.
Why doesn't he go back to his body, which they're about to burn?
I don't know.
And what
he
just shoots this key with a presumably a silver bullet, which works.
I guess. I don't know.
Is he filling his rounds with salt now too? Like, what is the idea? And you know what? And frankly, like, for as much as this ghost business gets muddled for me, mm-hmm. I don't really care because I like the episode a whole lot.
I also don't care either. Yeah. He's a ghost vampire, which we aren't taking into account here.
Oh,
so he gets sent back to the house.
It's true.
And now he's like, well, I can't stop Sam and Dean, but I can stop these fucks from burning all of these bodies and stealing my soul power.
And he absolutely does. He immediately starts chasing Bobby and Annie, gets them cornered, and then starts like doing the vampire thing to Bobby. Luckily enough, the boys are right there to burn his body, which mm-hmm. they do, and then he disappears, leaving Bobby alive on the floor, right next to Annie.
And then the boys head on back to the mansion.
Yep.
And when they open the door, they see him. They see Bobby standing there.
This scene is extremely great. Jim Beaver in any scene kind of elevates it just naturally, but the looks that these boys give them, give their Uncle Bobby is like some of the best stuff in the series. Like, this is like some mm-hmm. true emotional hunkitude for me, and I'm very, very much here for it.
Yeah. You can tell there is a lot that goes unsaid because they're obviously just the relief it must be to just see Bobby's face again after, you know, everything they've gone through in the last season, really. Where when Castiel came back, it seemed like there was a lot of complication between him and Dean. And then, he kind of sacrifices himself to help Sam out. So there's never really that clear sort of reunion, I guess. But here it's just like they're seeing the face of Bobby again, who means so much to them. And they didn't end on bad terms. They ended fighting the fight together. And it's just, there's like that moment of kind of purity when they just look at him. But then there's also like the sadness of Bobby. You're not only gone, we lost you, but you have to stay gone. You can't be here as a ghost. This is wrong. You're only hurting yourself by doing this. But Bobby says, life wasn't comfy, why should death be? He doesn't want to give up on the boys. And I didn't write down a lot of what was said here, because what was said didn't really matter that much. It really is, like what you say, like the looks that they're giving each other.
Yeah.
But we do learn that, you know, when Sam was trying to use the talking board, and he never told Dean about it, all that stuff, it reveals that none of that worked because he always tried to do it when he was alone, and Dean always had the flask on him. So when he tried to use the talking board to summon Bobby, the flask wasn't there, therefore Bobby wasn't there, and nobody ever answered.
Pretty sound logic on why he couldn't communicate with Bobby beforehand. This whole thing is good. I like that the boys are kind of, they're kind of put in this position where they think that Bobby made a wrong decision, and they don't know how to deal with that. Like, you could tell mm-hmm. this is somebody that they've looked up to all their lives, that has guided them in so many ways, that played ball with them even when John Winchester wouldn't, you know, did all of these things for them, and now he's fucking up, and they don't know how to deal with it. They can only be like, right. All right, well, we got some stuff to do, but we're going to have to talk about this later, I guess. And I'm kind of disappointed here. Obviously they go back in. They find the remains room with all of the stuff, all of the bodies in it, and they burn all of these bodies. Annie does not get any screen time after the fight with Whitman, and we don't get to say, like, we don't get a final goodbye with her. We don't get oh, we found her body and we're going to clearly lay it to rest in this like hunter funeral thing. We don't get that image. Like she's just gone off screen. And it's like, yeah. And I get it. Like, and this is a kind of a classic supernatural thing, unfortunately, where let's introduce a woman character. And then I think this is probably the shortest on air kill time besides since Jess, since from season one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they introduced this chicken killer like 40 seconds later. But like, we don't get to see any kind of like, see you later, Bobby kind of thing. And I think that we needed a little bit of closure there. So we needed her to tell Bobby, like, hey, you need to think about this real hard because you're down a dark
path,
and then to leave. But we don't get that, which I guess we ran out of time, which I mean, I feel like we could have just excised the whole old white man plot if that was the case.
Didn't need that.
They could have just found that on a laptop somewhere. I didn't need an old white guy for it.
I guess they just,
the internet's really putting old white guys out of business, huh, Chris?
They just needed to get, the boys out of the house again. I don't really know. Yeah. They wanted to give Bobby some agency, some choice, that he's not just getting dragged along to this hunt, but he's actively participating in it, because this is kind of one of his last hurrahs. But they don't just immediately be like, well, okay, let's burn the flask, you know. They start to kind of question if they can make this work, because like you said, they both know that it's wrong, but it's Bobby, and it's like, they, you know, that they want him there, they don't want him there like that, but it's like it's hard. It's like it's like having a long distance relationship, you know, you still love them, but it's not really working out the way that you wanted it to.
Well, and Dean even goes so far as to kind of pick a fight with Bobby about this. Like, he takes out the flask and drinks it, you know, to fallen hunters, drinks to Annie, and then starts yelling at Bobby, which, number one, I feel like drinking the flask in front of Bobby is a little weird now that you know he's in the room. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It just feels like his.
You're sucking on his ghost.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel great. Like, I wouldn't be drinking out of that thing anymore.
No, probably not.
I'm sure you have an open container in your car somewhere, Dean. Just go get that. But then also, like, yelling at Bobby for, you know, you could be in heaven right now. Like, you could be, I think he says, sitting at, what was the bar? At Ellen's?
Harvell's.
Bar? Harvell's. You could be sitting at Harvell's, listening to music and drinking forever, never getting drunk and having a great time. But instead you chose to be here. And of course, Bobby responds like, no, I'm here for you. With this, we have a big thing happening right now. And I'm here for that because you need my help. And obviously, like, you can kind of see where this is leading, which is Bobby's not really here for them at all. Like, Bobby's very much here because he doesn't want to die, and he's kind of trying to convince himself that the love that he has for these boys is the reason he's staying. But it's actually Bobby being kind of selfish, and he's going that argument, like, it gets to a point where Bobby won't even listen to him, and he's like, well, fine, I'll just disappear, and he blinks out of existence. Mm-hmm. And so leaving them to kind of question, like, what are we gonna do? And I love Sam's question that you talked about, like, the can we make it work line, as if, like, to put all of this decision on Dean is to say, like, can a family be two brothers and a ghost?
Yeah.
Sometimes a family is two brothers and a ghost uncle. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's because it's like they've done weirder, so they're kind of just trying to navigate this whole thing. They've had angel family, they've had demon family.
Sure.
So maybe they can have ghost family. Maybe it's not that weird, but Dean's line here of what are the odds this is that this ends well? That's like, maybe it doesn't look bad right now, but there is no chance in hell that this is not going to go down fast.
Yeah, this is a situation. He also says it ain't the natural order of things, and like everything has to die, which I think, you know, we've seen Dean with some suicidal tendencies in the show before. We've seen, you know, even Bobby with some suicidal tendencies. Actually, let me rephrase. We've seen Bobby with some suicidal tendencies, with Dean kind of on the other end, pulling him through that. And I think that, like, this is him saying, like, hey, like, everything has to die. Like, this was a hunter's death, regardless of how it happened. And we gave him a hunter's funeral.
They already did what they were supposed to do. Exactly. It just didn't work.
It didn't work. And yeah, what are the odds it's going to end well? I mean, this is a supernatural episode. Right. This is the Winchester, so probably not great odds that it's going
to talk about
super great.
To talk about actual endings, I mean, it ends with sad Bobby sitting in the backseat of the car. The boys don't see him, which is the light kind of passing over him as they drive the car, and the shadows kind of getting darker and darker over his face, and that's just how the episode ends.
Yeah, what an episode, man.
It's a good episode. Like, there's some goofy ghost semantics, like we were talking about, but other than that, like, it's fun. I liked Annie. I wish we, like you said, got, like, to say goodbye to her, or got to keep her. That'd be fun, right?
Yeah.
Um,
tell me, but she wouldn't be good in the Wayward Sisters. She'd,
like,
be great.
If Yeah. If she had been trapped in there, still alive, and maybe the flask fell out of Dean's pocket. So now Bobby is there, and he's trying to communicate with her the whole time, and he's able to break through to her, but not to the boys. They could have done a whole lot, but they killed her.
Yeah, they killed her within 40 seconds of the show starting.
then they
just released her into the sweet eternity of death. I'm with you. Like, the ghost semantic stuff kind of hold this down, and I don't particularly think that Ghost of Vampire is a super great villain, but it gets the job done for me. Like, having Bobby work a case with an old friend is kind of a really nice, heartwarming situation, and establishing, like, that, you know, I don't know why the story about all of these three people sleeping with Annie is it establishes a weird camaraderie in some way. I don't know. Mm-hmm, like it's a weird thing for them all to be uncomfortable about. And it's just funny to me. Like, it works on a really good level of, cause you know, everyone's single. Nobody holds on to, you know, long-term relationships in this business. And if there's a woman around, or if there's a guy that you're interested in, then hey, something's probably going to happen. It's going to be the end of the world, right? Like, you know, tomorrow we could die. So let's do a thing. And the fact that it happened with all three of them, like, really cemented her in my pantheon of Winchester friends and family somehow. I don't know why it works for me so well.
It's just good. It's just good stuff.
Any final thoughts on this episode?
I like that we got a little breadcrumb at the beginning about the Leviathans, but I still don't fully remember where all this is going. I don't exactly remember where the Bobby stuff is going, or the Leviathan stuff, or the Castiel stuff. So I'm gearing up. I have enjoyed season 7, and I'm very excited to see what the next step is going to be, because my opinion on the Leviathans has changed. Let me get my grammar sorted out there. You know, Jeremy, when I have these headphones on that cover my full ears and I can't hear myself, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just out of control. Anyway.
You should go ahead. Sorry.
I'm excited to see where this shit's going. It's going to get wild. It's going to get weird. I'm ready for the next arc, which will be season 8. But yeah, I'm excited.
I'm excited too. I'm at the point where I also don't really remember the end of season 7 too well. I think I mentioned that on the last episode. I remember being kind of disappointed by it. So I'm a little concerned that they're going to rush through these last four episodes. And at the end, it's going to be like, oh yeah, here's the big secret. Here's how we deal with it in 30 seconds. And everything's going to be over with. Like, I'd like a little bit more.
I feel like it was like, maybe the Leviathans weren't doing well with fans. Maybe people were watching this saying, we don't like these villains. So rather than abort, like they did with season 6, we're like, the mother of all, I mean, actually, this other thing and this other thing. They're sticking to their guns with Leviathans, but they're also, you know, they're pulling back a little bit. Okay, this is a little bit weak. Maybe it's not doing as well as we hoped. Maybe we don't have as much as we hoped. And then let's just figure out where it leads to. Season 7 is sort of a transitional phase. It's season 7 is what season 6 should have been.
I'm totally with you on there. Like, season 6 was kind of they were trying to get some footing after the first five seasons,
for sure.
Departure of the creator of the show and all that stuff. Like, there's going to be some time for conflict there. The Leviathans so far, to me, like, we got very little of them in this episode. We've gotten very little of them over the last 4 or 5 weeks. I still really enjoy them. Like, I think this the idea of this corporation of monsters still really works for me. Like, they're exerting influence and powers and in a way that, like, we haven't really seen before. And
they're kind of the most realistic type of villain that we've had.
Yeah, like, because this is what's happening. Because like, shitty dudes are running corporations and taking, like, privileges away from people. Like, this is kind of happening now, with just without all of the monster eating and purgatory business. And so I think it kind of works on a really good level. I do wish there was more of it, though. Like, this kind of seems superfluous, except for the Bobby stuff, which is really good and strong.
Yeah.
But yeah,
because they're trying to keep the monster of the week stuff, because that's solid. When they don't have their feet underneath them with the main plot, they can always rely on a solid ghost story or hunt, whatever it is, you know? So I think if they doubled down on the Leviathan stuff, we may have gotten a more interesting season, but we may have also gotten a worse season. And this is sort of their way out of it. They're allowed to keep pushing the season forward. They keep making more. They keep trickling in Leviathan stuff while they sort of just distract us with the stuff that we know and love. So they're not really taking chances with this. We saw them take chances in season 6, and that didn't necessarily work out. So it's they're trying to strike a balance. I would like to see more of the main plot, especially now that we're in the last four episodes.
Yeah, me too. That's exactly where I'm at too. Our next episode is going to introduce one of the series, like, long-running favorite side characters, so I'm really excited about that. Mm-hmm. And I think, if I remember correctly, she is related directly to the Leviathans, so hopefully we'll be getting our wish on the next episode. I think we're done. I think we have discussed this episode as much as we
possibly can. I think that is the episode. Cool. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to the patrons at patreon.com/monsterofthe week. We said all that good stuff at the beginning, and we mean it. You guys are the best. And the outpouring of support since launching Monster of the Week Presents as kind of a side podcast has been really special and touching. And I hope you guys are looking forward to more and different stuff from me and Chris, because we have a whole bunch of ideas, and we're just trying to fit them into our lives so that we can do this. But thank you for everybody over there. Thank you for the recent iTunes reviews and everything like that. That's really appreciated. Chris, where can you be found on the internet nowadays?
I am at Local Bones on Twitter.
Excellent. I am at JG Greer. You can talk to the podcast at MOTWcast. Feel free to send in some mail, send us some letters in if you have some opinions about season 7 or Supernatural in general, or the show, or just want to get something off your chest. Tell us all your secrets. MonsterTheWeek.cool/contact, and we will be reading those on our feedback episode, where we're joined by a somewhat confirmed special guest. I'm not sure
if he's
fully said yes or not, so we should probably figure that out in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, thank you everybody for listening. We'll be back next week with more Supernatural.
Bye, guys. Nailed it. All right. What episode was that? 77?
78.
What the fuck?
Can I send you a funny picture of my dog that just happened?
Yeah, for sure. I can hear that little rascal's collar every once in a while.
Yeah, she's been kind of pacing around. I don't know what's up with her today. I think she has kind of a bad tone.
She's got to take a big old dump.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, she did right before the podcast.
Big old dog dump. That's my new name on Discord.
Big old dog dump.
What is going on?
Why is she hiding underneath that table?
Oh no! She does not look very happy.
So thank you so much for all of that. We really appreciate it. I'm just going to read, because I am definitely as prepared as Chris, I am definitely going to read a one of our new patrons. I hope I'm still not logged into the Discord. I am. I'm logged into my Don't Give Up Skeleton Patreon, so this is going to be a problem. Shit.
Looks like you'll be editing after all.
Come on, just refresh the stupid page. There you go.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. All right, here's the challenge today, Jeremy. Let's see if I can keep my chair from squeaking the entire episode. I actually don't know what it sounded like. All right. Yo. How's it going, mate? Don't know why I called you mate. Just sort of came out of my mouth.
It's not bad, mate. I'm just having some fish and chips that I got at the local pub. Yep. I'm having
you sure that that's a good idea after your weekend?
It was a very bad idea, to be honest with you. Yeah, I was. I've been feeling poorly all fucking day. So,
hey, I know that feeling. That non-dairy ice cream I was telling you about.
Yeah,
I think I'm okay so far. So
you had it last night, and there's been no symptoms since.
No, last night I felt very bloated, and I thought this could turn into a problem.
Yeah, but this is going to be a situation.
Yeah, but I think I'm okay as long as I avoid eating all of it. It was only one of those little pints. But as long as if I eat it in moderation, I think that I'll be okay without having any problems, which is great because ice cream is delicious.
Ice cream is really good. I'm really glad that you have some ice cream in your life if this is the case.
And as I told you, I was just so suspicious of it because it tasted good. And I was like, this is non-dairy. This is bullshit. This is going to make me sick if it tastes this good. But yeah, I mean, watch me have to like leave halfway through the podcast.
Hey, we'll
I'm just going to scream emergency.
We'll just put a cut in and We'll just treat it like we did with Autumn's Keys. I'll just cut up every time that you have to go to the bathroom.
I'm at a laptop now. I'll just bring you with me.
No, please. I don't want that.
I'll have to mute the sounds. I'm sorry. All right. Okay. Off to a good start.
Chris, I'm gonna do a little segment here.
Okay.
A few weeks ago, you proved yourself to be amazingly capable of recognizing supernatural ship names.
Yeah. And, to my great pride, I was able to yes.
Today I ran across something called a ship name that I didn't recognize called Drarry. D R A R R Y.
D-R-A-R-R-Y.
And this was not a supernatural ship name, but this was part of like a meme that was going around. And the meme was like, oh, you're getting to know me? Well, you better know these five things. And like, there was a pie chart. And one section was like Destiel. One section was supernatural. One section was Drarry. So it was, you know, obviously somebody met someone.
Well, yeah,
somewhere.
What? Is that...
So
is that a Drew Carey reference?
It's not a Drew Carey reference. It's actually the portmanteau for Draco Harry Potter ship.
Oh, that's so, okay.
Okay, so I know you're pretty. Well
I would have. I'd call it Malpot. That's what I would go for. That's how I know it or in Potter my Co. shipping circles. Potter we Co. call it Malpot. Yeah.
So I was curious because I know you're pretty well read on Harry Potter and you've seen all the movies.
Sure.
You've dressed up as Harry Potter once for Halloween. That's a fact.
Absolutely.
I was curious how well you could do if I was to give you some Harry Potter ship names, if you could decode what they would be.
I can do my best.
The fun thing about this Wikipedia page that I have found is it not only does it list the portmanteau for the mm-hmm. ship, it also mm-hmm. lists what they call the nautical name. Because it's a ship.
Because shipping at sea is different than shipping on land.
Sure. So, for instance, I'm going to give you this one for free. It's the first one on the list. The HMS Red and Brains. And that's...
That's got to be Ron and Hermione, right?
You would think that, but actually it's Hermione and Arthur. Which is really weird to me.
Huh?
Why is it Arthur?
Huh?
Just be Ron. Doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
What the fuck?
So
is that allowed?
So some of these have all of these have ship names, have nautical names.
Okay. Are you going to give me both the ship and the nautical?
I'm going to give you the portmanteau. I'm going to give you the ship name, and then if we need help, if you get confused,
that's my lifeline.
I'll give you the nautical name.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're just going to go through some of these. I'm going to pick them at random. I will say that we have some. Let's see what we have here. Oh yeah, good. So we have some het names. We have some slash mm-hmm. names.
Mm-hmm.
For the uninitiated slash, I believe is primarily homosexual couples. Mm-hmm. Homosexual dude couples, and then they have fem slash, which is obviously homosexual women.
Yeah. Am I allowed to ask that as like my third lifeline?
Yeah,
whether it's head slash or fem slash?
I'll give you the section ahead of time because I think some of these are going to be kind of hard. But then we are going to get into some threesomes and moresomes that I'm really excited to talk about.
Okay.
But let's start with the het names.
Okay.
I'm really. Okay. Some of these names I don't recognize, so I'm not sure how well this is going to go. But let's start with, let's just go Charmini.
Well, that's going to be Charlie Weasley and Hermione.
Bingo, you nailed that one.
Okay.
What about Drinny?
Is that Draco and Ginny?
Nailed it. Some of these may be, because they kind of use all of the same. What about Georgelina?
Is that George and Angelina?
It is. Who is Angelina?
She's on the Quidditch team. I think he goes to the Yule Ball with her. I could be wrong.
That one is also called the SS Flaming Fireworks, by the way.
Fuck yeah, it is.
What about Hafney?
Haphne?
Mm-hmm. That's H-A-P-H-N-E.
Is that Harry and... No. I was going to say, that's it. My guess was Harry and Ginny, but Haphne?
Haphne.
Haphne. Can you give me the nautical name?
It is. There's actually two for this one.
Okay.
One is the HMS Golden Ice.
What and the
one
fuck?
Is the HMS Champions New Hope.
Oh, my God. Okay. Can you give me the name one more time in spelling?
It's Haphne. Mm-hmm. H-A-P-H-N-E.
H-A-P-H-N-E.
Mm-hmm.
Haphne. I think I might be stumped. I'm trying to think. Is it has something to do with one of the Tried Wizard champions? Haphne. Okay.
This is... I didn't recognize this person, so I think this is probably kind of rude of me to give you. This is... Oh, shit. I've lost my page. Here we go. Daphne Greengrass in Harry Potter?
What the fuck? Who's Daphne Greengrass?
She was a Slytherin. She went to... I don't know where she is in the books.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Rude. Whoever ships that, you're rude.
I mean, she's like an evil wizard. She's an evil witch.
I think I have a general idea of who she is, but I don't
sorted
know.
Into the. She was in the same year as the famous Harry Potter, so she's one of the Slytherin. I think she maybe did she hang out with. I feel like she would hang out. Yeah, yeah. She Daphne was part of Pansy Parkinson's gang of Slytherin.
Okay, girls. Yeah. I only know Pansy. I don't know Daphne.
Yeah, yeah. Daphne's probably a kind of a deep cut.
too deep for me.
Let's go. Let's go, Chari.
Is that Charlie and Harry?
It is not. Because we're
Chari? We're how do you spell it?
We're in the het couple section.
Okay.
C-H-A-R-R-Y. The nautical name is the HMS Celebrity.
Oh my god. what the fuck? So it's somebody else who's famous.
It is.
Wow, I feel like I'm coming up short on Harry Potter ship names.
Well, you're two out of three so far, so you're not doing too bad. I'll give you another hint. Like this is kind of an obvious one if you read the books or even if you watch the movies. Like this is kind of something that I think most people would be into.
And how do you spell it?
C H A R R Y.
No fuck. So it's got to be Harry and somebody else, but who with the C H?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Cho Chang.
There you go. Nailed it. I think if I give you this name, you'll get it, but I do want to say before the hint that the nautical name for this is the HMS Pumpkin Pie.
Okay.
So then the ship name is just Harmony, which I find is actually very pretty.
Is that Hermione and Ron?
Oh, you're so close.
Oh, Harmony?
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be, if it's not Hermione and Ron, who the hell is it? So it's pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm. Break this
so
down.
There's a
walk us
there's a pie. Weasley involved. Is that Molly and Arthur? No.
No. Nope. Nope. Why would pumpkin pie signify
I don't know.
A Weasley?
Because they have orange hair like pumpkins.
Oh. I don't know where these names come from, but that one is that one's actually Harry and Hermione.
Oh,
they call that
okay.
One Hermione.
That was see, I was overthinking it.
What about Jilly? J-I-L-Y.
J-I-L-Y?
Mm-hmm.
Or was that James and Lily?
That is.
R.I.P. and R.I.P.
S.S. Thorn and Buck, which I think is how we should refer to one another on this podcast from now on.
Thorn and Buck.
You get to be Thorn and I'll be the Buck.
What is up, Buck? It's your boy Thorn.
It's your boy Thorn back at you with another Supernatural podcast, everybody. This one might be... Oh, here we go. This one actually has two portmanteau names.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you the one that I like the most, which is Nuna. N-U-N-A.
Is that Neville and Luna?
Nailed it. The other one was Loonville, which I thought was...
Loonville!
Okay. Loonville is okay, but I
thought
I might
offensive.
Give it away. The nautical name for this is the SS The Government Stole My Toad.
What the fuck? Y'all are out there with this shit.
This one might be a little too easy. Can you get Ronks? R-O-N-K-S?
Ron and Tonks?
Nope. Close, though.
Ronks? Oh, Remus and Tonks?
Remus and Tonks. Nailed it.
Because that's canon. See, I keep thinking it can't be the canon ships, but I guess they have their own ship names.
This one's pretty good. This one's pretty good. It's Heron. H-E-R-O-N.
And we're still in Het ships?
We're still in Het ships, yeah. I'll bounce us out of this to get to some funnier ones here in a minute.
Heron, can you spell it for me?
H-E-R-O-N, like the bird.
H-E-R-O-N, oh god. I mean, it's got to involve Ron, right? Is that Hermione and Ron?
That's Hermione and Ron. Also referred to, the nautical name is just the good ship.
Okay. Okay. I guess.
The other one was Hermione is the other name, the other portmanteau.
Sure.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Let's see. I don't know. Okay.
Give me some slash ones.
So, oh, hold on. We're going to do one last one before we leave, which is just Voldini.
Is it Ginny and Voldemort?
It's Ginny and Tom Riddle, the SS Genitonic, oh, as they like to call him.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Poor sweet Ginny.
Yeah, why are you guys shipping Ron, or excuse me, Ginny?
It's because she was possessed by him.
I know, that's a
when good she was 11.
All right, let's start off real easy with some Grindeldor.
So that's Grindelwald and Dumbledore.
There you go. Oh wow, there's some incest stuff in here. That's not cool.
That's why are you surprised? It's the internet. they love incest.
Drarry is also referred to as the SS Guns and Handcuffs. So enjoy that.
Guns and Handcuffs. Mm-hmm. That's got to be Draco and Harry, right? We already talked about this, didn't we?
We did. Yeah. I'm just gonna give you the nautical name. Because okay. The portmanteau is ridiculous. The nautical name is the SS Best Mate, and that has to be
Ron and Harry, right?
It is, but that can also be referred to as candy shipping.
Huh? What's that mean?
What about seeker chasing? Can you get that one?
Seeker chasing. It's got to be, and it's slash.
It is.
Because I would think that would also be Draco and Harry, but maybe, is Cedric Diggory a seeker?
I do not remember. Was Cedric Diggory even on the
team? Seeker chasing.
Was he even played?
Yeah, he was in Hufflepuff. And now he's fucking dead. Wait, okay. This is slash, not fem slash, right?
Correct.
Seeker chasing.
This one... is a little rougher because we don't really see this happen in the books. We just know stories about these particular two and their seekers status.
Is this Bill and Charlie?
It is not.
No. They were both on the Quidditch team, I think. I can't remember. Huh. We just hear stories about these two?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it James and Sirius?
James and Regulus Black. I'll give you half point on that one because that.
Oh, was okay.
A cut.
Okay, goddamn, that's an ultra deep cut.
Jesus. I'm gonna give you a couple.
Okay.
The two of these are so obvious, but Tamari is the portmanteau, and the ship name is the SS or the SS Intertwining Philosophies. So either way you want to go on that, just take your pick.
Is it Tom Riddle and Harry?
It is. It's actually listed as Harry Potter and Lord Voldemort, which makes me think that they're making a distinction between Tom Riddle and Voldemort, which is
they
really
are making a distinction, huh?
Yeah, they don't want Ginny to hook up with Lord Voldemort. They wanted to hook up with Tom Riddle, the ghost of the teenage
with
Lord Voldemort.
Hot 16-year-old Tom Riddle trapped in a diary. Every girl's dream.
What about Jeverus?
That's James and Severus, right?
Nailed it. Also, SS Silver and Steel.
Ooh.
What about puppies?
Puppies?
Mm-hmm.
What could that possibly mean? Wait. It's gotta have something to do with the Animagus thing, right? Sirius involved. It's Sirius and Remus.
Boom. Nailed it. You're so yep. good at this. Just going to read off the rest and for Remus and Sirius. Puppies, a.k.a. Puppy Shipping, The One True Way, Wolf Star, which I fucking love, HMS yeah, Furries, yeah. or HMS Wolf Star, which Wolf Star is great. Like, that's that new that's that new David Bowie album, right? When he was announced yeah. he was a furry.
Yeah, yeah.
More incest stuff, which I don't really want to read. Oh, this one's good and easy. Snoopin. S-N-U-P-I-N.
Snape and Lupin. I like Snoopin. You know, because Remus, he never really wanted to bully Snape when they were younger. It was more like James and Sirius who had the attitude problem. Mm-hmm, but, like, mm-hmm. you know, Remus was, like, kind of, like, let me make it up to you.
It is extremely good. Snoopin is also SS Master and Wolf.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the nautical name on this one, because I want to see if you can get it from the nautical name, because the main names are, we'll give it away immediately.
Mm-hmm.
HMS Twisted Cauldron.
Twisted Cauldron. And this is still Slash?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's Snape. And who's Twisted?
Man, I am really impressed that you pulled Snape out of that. That's
because
really
Snape good. Is the cauldron because he yeah, knows yeah, potions. Yeah. But who's the twisted part? Is it? It's not.
I don't understand why they called it Twisted Cauldron.
It's not Voldemort, is it? No,
it's not. No.
Is it another professor? Could you give me a hint?
It is not another professor. It is a student at the school. And you might okay. say that he is a somewhat popular student, or at least a popular character in the series. He's not really a popular student. Not until the end, anyway. And then he's like absurdly popular.
Is it Neville?
It is. It is. I gave you a lot of hints there, but yeah.
You absolutely. Did give me a lot of hints, yeah.
The portmanteaus for that one are Neverus and Snuffle. S-N-E-V-I-L.
I like Neverus because it sounds like it's impossible.
Neverus sounds like what like a Michael
Neverus Severus.
Neverus Severus.
Yeah.
All right, we're into some Femslash. Femslash is really easy because like everyone just ships Hermione with somebody.
Yeah.
So you get stuff like Andromine, Bellamine.
Is that Angelina? Okay.
Yeah, that's actually Andromeda, but I mean, like, a lot of those I think are kind of easy. The ones that... Oh, here we go. Humerta.
Is that Hermione and Moaning Myrtle?
it's neither one of those. It's H-O-O-M-E-R-T-A, and it's also the HMS Barmaids and Broomsticks.
So it's whoever works at the Three Broomsticks, whose mm-hmm. name I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then somebody else.
Because you're a normal
know.
Person and you don't have, like, Rolanda Hooch and Madame Rosemary memorized.
That's fucked up.
That's fucked up. That's a weird ship, y'all. Who's shipping those two?
That ship is too deep. That ship is way too far out to sea.
A lot of these don't actually have portmanteaus, but we do get some... oh, there must have been some drama going on in Sissatrix.
So that's Bellatrix Lestrange.
Oh, yeah,
but who's Sissatrix? Is that her with her sister?
This is absolutely. I didn't realize this was
Narcissa
until I got kind of far away into this.
Yeah.
But apparently, I read it because it says it's the HMS Beautiful Vanity, and then in parentheses it says formerly the Pureblood Way, which makes me think that there was some real big like shipping drama that happened on Tumblr. You know what I'm saying? Like there was a fight.
Yeah, yeah. there's some shipping wars. Yeah.
that's pretty much all we got in the Femslash.
Like, man,
there's some pretty funny. There's some pretty good ones in there. SS the love that dare not speak its name.
What the fuck? So that's gotta be. Well, I was gonna say that's Voldemort, but is this still Femslash?
Femslash, yeah.
The love that dare not speak its name? I don't know. That sounds like it's too deep.
Jenny and Tonks.
What's wrong? Why can't they speak the name?
I don't get that one at all.
Tinny?
All right. This is always fun because it's always including names that I've never heard of before. We're going to get to threesomes and moresomes.
Okay.
Oh, geez. There's a lot of incest in here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to stay away from... There's some incest traps in here, y'all, so I'm sorry about this ahead of time.
If you can't say it.
Dramayonnaise?
Got mayonnaise in the end there?
D-R...
I mean, can...
A-M-I-O-N-A-I-S-E.
Okay, Draco.
Yep.
You said somebody named Andromeda earlier. I'm just going to throw that in there, and then maybe Hermione? I don't know.
You got two out of three. It's actually Draco, Hermione, and somebody named Blaise Zambini.
Who the fuck is Blaise Zambini?
He is a Slytherin in Harry Potter's year.
He's going to say some fucking Ravenclaw or something.
He is revealed to be a tall black boy with haughty features and a mother who is renowned for being a beautiful seductress and having many husbands. So he's literally mentioned twice in like 1400 pages worth of Harry Potter, but people okay. are still shipping him. So
okay
good for that. Incest, although that's a really good name.
What is the name? Just tell me the name.
Three's Company.
Oh god.
Fred, George, and Hermione.
Yeah. Oh. Well, they're twins, so it's kind of like it's fine. It's fine.
Here's one that's just the SS Black Cess plus one. And here's one that says the SS Black Cess cubed. There's a lot of people in that one.
So there's just the Black family, like Sirius and Bellatrix, and then maybe somebody else?
It's Narcissa, Bellatrix, and Andromeda.
Who the hell is Andromeda? Is that Sirius's mom?
It must be, yeah. Andromeda... Andromeda Tonks.
It's Tonks. Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm not read up on my Tonks lore. I only know her as Tonks.
What about the Silver Trio?
I don't know what it is, but I like it.
AKA the SS Flaming Nargle or the SS Moonseekers.
Okay, Luna, Neville, and somebody else. I want to say Ginny, like it's like the B team.
Mm-hmm. You were again astonishingly close. I don't know how you were so good at this because I would not know any of these. It is Harry, Ginny, and Luna. So you had two out of three on that one.
Okay.
okay, we're gonna end on this one because I love it so okay. much. Okay. Are you ready for the name?
I hope so.
It's called Snackin.
One more time?
It's Snackin. S-N-A-C-K-I-N.
Can you give me the ship name?
It's the SS Tormented Souls.
Snackin?
Snackin.
Oh my god. Snape? I want to say Voldemort. Who would be the other tormented soul? Snackin. Can you spell it for me?
S-N-A-C-K-I-N. It's like what I'm going to do.
Is Draco? Is Draco in there too?
Draco no. is not in there. You got one out of three, which is not bad.
It's just Snape.
It's Sirius Black, Remus Lupin, and Severus Snape are the Snackin crew.
Interesting. How is it Snackin? I don't get it.
I don't know.
Okay.
There's also some combinations, like the one big happy Weasley family, which just seems to be like Ron and Hermione and Harry and Ginny hanging out. So
okay, I like that.
And there are some parodies according to this wiki page. All right. There's Snanger.
Is that Snape and Hermione?
It is. These all sound like definitions. A parody. Oh my god, Chris. As a reaction to the increasing popularity of portmanteau names in HP fandom, Libertine and Wicked Cherub wrote The Meaningful of Harry Potter Lif, which proposed humorous definitions to increasingly improbable name mashups. Examples include Snary,
mm-hmm.
which they are defining as the fart Snape you sneak and Harry. In when standing next to someone and hope they won't notice.
Okay, yeah.
Snanger, which is
Snape and Hermione.
The sausage that burst and hits you in the eye with sausage juice.
Gross. Okay.
Vape.
Who's vape?
I mean, it's pretty obvious who vape is, right?
Well, it's Snape and who? Voldemort?
Voldemort, yeah. They're defining that as the unexpected leap of a hidden cat.
Okay.
And then finally, Dumblegrid.
Is that Grindelwald and Dumbledore?
It's Dumbledore and Hagrid.
Oh, thank God. You know, he has not gotten enough love.
He hasn't. I'm going to do a control F here in just a minute. Has he gotten any love besides... Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, there is. I missed this one. There is a Snagrid.
Snape and Hagrid?
Snape and Hagrid, yeah.
So I'm glad that Hagrid gets to fuck. He's nice. He deserves it.
Who do you think's the top and who do you think's the bottom in that relationship? Is that something that we should discuss on this podcast? Probably.
Hagrid is the bottom because he's very gentle and he doesn't want to hurt anybody.
And really, like, Snape is the kind of guy that he just wouldn't be able to, like, handle being out of somebody's control.
Yeah, Snape needs to be in control.
So, yeah, guys, thank you for that journey.
Thanks. Thank you. I didn't do as well as I did on the Supernatural one, but
I thought you did really well.
Thank you.
I'm gonna make sure I add that to the show notes so that we can do that. Yeah, Autumn texted me that picture like just a few minutes before we started recording, and I was like, oh yeah, this would be a good idea.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Anyway, we have like 25 minutes of outtakes now. You ready to do a podcast?
Yeah, that's gonna make outtakes really easy because it'll just be one.
Yeah, one big thing. We didn't say anything weird that we have to cut out. Kept it clean.
I mean, the night's still young. We could still get into
that's it. That is true.
I have been noticeably bad at just saying the dumbest shit in the world lately.